Okay, so we'll try to finish chapter 17. We're on text 11. And this middle section is from verse 11 to text 22. It is called Sacrifices, Austerities, and Charity in the Modes. Sacrifices, Austerities, and Charity in the Modes. First section was from 1 to 10, Faith, Worship, and Foods in the Modes. It used to be listed all separately, with like five sections, but now they put them together in different groupings. Makes it more simple, actually. Easier to remember. Okay, text 11. Now, here Krishna is speaking about sacrifices in the three modes of nature. Afala kangshibhir yagyo vidhi dishto yajyate yashtavyam eveti mana samadhaya sasatvikaha. Of sacrifices, the sacrifice performed according to the directions of scripture as a matter of duty by those who desire no reward is of the nature of goodness. So we'll see that the sattva-gun activities usually have this word afala kankshibhi, or afala something or other, but here it means the person doesn't desire to enjoy the fruits of that activity. Because someone in the mode of goodness performs the activities out of duty, not out of a mood to enjoy the results. And vidhi-dishto means it's according to the directions of the shastra. Yashtavyam means like out of duty, it must be done. So that's he fixes his mind that eviti mana samadhaya, that's his samadhi. Fixes his mind on yashtavyam, that it must be done. The acharyas, I ask that, why will one do yajna if not for the result? Out of duty, it's good to do it. So he fixes his mind on that, Vishwanath Chakravarti says. And Pallavi Vidyabhushan, basically the same thing. Why does he do it? Because Shastra says to do it. So I proceed. It's my prescribed duty. So the translation is, of sacrifice, the sacrifice performed according to the direction of the scripture as a matter of duty by those who desire no reward is of the nature of goodness, Prabhupada comments. The general tendency is to offer sacrifice with some purpose in mind. But here it is stated that sacrifice should be performed without any such desire. It should be done as a matter of duty. Take, for example, the performance of rituals in temples or in churches. Generally, they are performed with the purpose of material benefit, but that is not in the mode of goodness. One should go to a temple or church as a matter of duty, offer respect to the Supreme Lord, and offer flowers and eatables. Everyone thinks that there is no use in going to the temple just to worship God. Who cares about God? But worship for economic benefit is not recommended in the scriptural injunctions. One should go simply to offer respect to the deity. That will place one in the mode of goodness. It is the duty of every civilized man to obey the injunctions of the scriptures and offer respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 12. Abhisandhayatu phalam dambhartam apichavayat ijate bharata shreshta tam yagyam vidirajasam. But the sacrifice performed for some material benefit or for the sake of pride, O chief of the Bharatas, you should know to be in the mode of passion. So here's two kinds of rajasic yagya. One is desiring the phala for some material benefit, and the second one is dambartam, which means for name and fame. So that's considered worse. it's considered almost common that someone has some material benefit. But if it's doing it to become famous and develop his name, that's even more selfish. Text 13. Vidihinam asrishtanam mantrahinam adakshiram shadha virahitam yagyam tamasam parichakshate. Any sacrifice performed without regard for the direction of the scripture, without distribution of prasadam, without chanting of Vedic hymns and remunerations to the priests, and without faith is considered to be a mode of ignorance. So there's five things here. Vidihinam, ashrishtanam, or anavidha, anavidhi, or anahinam, he could say. Vidihinam, anahinam, mantrahinam, dakshinahinam, and shraddhahinam. All of these things are missing in the person's, in the tamagun yagya. And the first and last one are considered most important. Vidihinam and shraddhahinam. Shraddhavirahita. Or the acting according to the injunctions of the Shastra and having faith. Prabhupada says, such ceremonial shows of religiosity are not accepted as genuine. Just a show. That's what dumbha means, right? Dumbha. So there's three kinds of yagya. So Prabhupada said that when we do a program, we should always distribute prasadam and chant the holy name. Right? Anytime we do any program, there should be those things. And he wanted his books also sold there. Otherwise, you have mantrahinam and anahina. Let's finish before we get into questions, right? Okay. Now, the next thing is some austerity. Deva dvija guru pragya pujanam shaucham arjavam brahmacharyam himsacha. Shariram tapa uchate. Austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence. So now austerity is being described. He's describing austerity of the shariram. And so David Dvija Guru Pragya Pujanam. We do puja, or we offer respect to all four of these persons. Right? The Lord, the Brahmins, Guru, and learned persons. Those who are pragya, those who know Shastra. So often we see that in the Vedic civilization, in the traditional civilization of India, all people are respected. Brahmanas, learned pandits, guru, the father and mother. How many of you, when you were a child, when you woke up and you saw your parents, you would go and touch their feet? Raise your hands. At least sometimes. Yeah. This is unheard of in Western civilization. Some people, just trying to understand Krishna consciousness, they generally get the idea sooner or later, after joining ISKCON, that one should be respectful to the guru. But sometimes they forget about the other persons, you know, the brahmanas, the parents, whatever, other types of persons. So in Vedic civilization, the respect is given to all different persons, not just the guru should certainly be respected, definitely, but not just him. Everyone else must be respected. This is very important because it creates a mood of humility and a kind of understanding of God being present everywhere. So it helps to usher a person to the madhyam level of spiritual realization. You can see that God is present in different places, different forms. So, as I mentioned before, it seems that here Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he's stressing this very much, and at least I've heard him say in Chopati, in Radha Gopinath Mandir, many times. So, devotees here are very, you know, they're respectful to everyone, I've noticed. But in other places, it's not like that. It's very far away. Very far. So, anyway, we're fortunate here that we've been trained in such a way. Now, here we also see Shocham and Arjavam. Shocham is cleanliness, also two kinds, external and internal. External was bathing, and internal was bathing, cleaning cloth, keeping the room clean, washing things with water. And internal means chanting the holy name, praying to the Lord, remembering him always. Brahmacharyam ahimsa cha. To be a brahmachari, one has to do all of these things. He has to be also simple. Here, simple means, Prabhupada mentioned, when one sees the deity, he thinks, yes, here is Krishna. And there's no other consideration. Or he mentioned that Prahlad was also simple. So simple that when his father was trying to kill him, he thought that, oh, my father's just joking with me. Because he was a young boy and he couldn't imagine that his father would try to kill him, so thought it was some kind of playing with him. He was just playing with me. And Prabhupada also described that simplicity means knowing what to do and doing it. In other words, knowing the difference between proper and improper activities and acting properly. And in this commentary, Prabhupada mentions about simple. He says, one should just act properly. He shouldn't indulge in sex outside of married life. And he described this as also celibacy. It's also kind of simplicity by just, you know, you're told this is the what you should do, and then you just follow it. Okay, text 15. So this, now we're talking about austerities, first of the body, then of speech. Anudvega karam bhakyam satyam priyahitam chayat svadhyaya vyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchete. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. So here, our words should be anudvega karam, not causing agitation. And they should be satyam priyahitam. They should be truthful, but also pleasing to hear and beneficial. So one should speak the truth, but not the bitter truth. In other words, if you're telling somebody, for example, if you're telling somebody, you know, about following, not eating meat or something, or following some kind of Vedic injunction, you could say, if something like, if you don't follow this, you're as good as a dog. Or you can say, persons who break these Vedic injunctions are considered by the Vedas themselves to be comparable to animals. That's a little bit easier to digest, right? But it's the same truth. So it's you're not like punching the person in the face with the truth, but you speak it in some way which is digestible. Or you can just tell them, you're like a dog. You don't follow these Vedic injunctions. Now, the next one is the austerity of the mind. And, well, there's quite a few of them here. So these are progressively more difficult. First body, then speech, then mind. Mana prasara samyatvam mauna matma vinigraha bhava sam tat tapo mana samuchate. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence of the austerities of the mind. Mana prasada, so it means the mind is peaceful, satisfied, free from disturbance. Somyatvam means without duplicity and also not being cruel, but rather always desiring happiness for others. Prabhupada writes, Mona means that one is always thinking of self-realization in the commentary. And Atmanivinigraha means controlling the mind from sense gratification. Bhava Samshuddhi means purifying one's nature, and also it means acting free from duplicity, according to Baladeva Nibhushan. I guess that's the main way to become pure. And Prabhupada writes, one should be straightforward in his dealings and thereby purify his existence. Right? That's from Baladeva Nibhushan. That's how he defines it. Free from duplicity. Because if you're not straightforward in your dealings, then every time you meet someone, you always have to reconsider, how do I deal with this person? Right? And it means you're not really being yourself. You're always trying to adjust yourself according to the person you're speaking to. But then you would be in trouble if they all come to talk to you together. Then you'd have to have four heads or something, you know, and deal with them in all different ways. Prabhupada writes in his commentary, the more we think of sense enjoyment, the more the mind becomes dissatisfied. So mana prasada is like develop in this way. Although the conditioned mind thinks that, yes, now let me think of sense gratification. In this way I'll become happy. But every time we allow our minds to dwell on sense objects, sense gratification, then we feel dissatisfied. And yet, the next time it comes, then we think, yes, now let me think of this sense gratification. And then afterwards we feel dissatisfied again, and frustrated and agitated. And then when it comes again, then we think, yes, let me think of this sense gratification. And we can go through it hundreds of thousands of times until we actually understand that this is not going to make me happy. Sometimes it takes like thousands of times. The mind, right? And still, the mind is always racing back to the sense objects looking for pleasure because we're conditioned to do this. For millions of births, we have the same mind. So the mind just has this tendency. And we have a tendency to just acquiesce to the mind. Yes, all right. But still, the result is we're never satisfied. But somehow we don't get the point. It takes years, actually, to understand this simple point. Prabhupada says the best course is to divert the mind to the Vedic literature, which is full of satisfying stories, as in the Puranas and Mahabharata. I mean, I guess he could have also wrote, one should chant the holy name of the Lord. But he wrote about reading the Vedas. And that's a little bit easier for people. It's hard for people to chant japa, right? And concentrate the mind. But it's much easier to read some story from Mahabharata, right? Isn't it? Or Ramayana. Krishna book. Okay. So now here's a verse which is summarizing these tapas, three kinds of tapas. Shadhaya paraya taptam tapas tatri vidam narahi apala kankshibhir yuktai sattvikam parichakshate. This threefold austerity performed with transcendental faith by men not expecting material benefits but engaged only for that the sake of the Supreme is called austerity and goodness. So these three kinds of tapasya have three kinds of faith. In other words, any three of them could be performed in any of the three modes of nature. And if they're done without material desire and with faith and with a fixed mind, then they're in sattva gun. Again, you see the apala kangshi bhi? Again, it's there. Text 18. Satkara manapu jartam tapo dampena chaivayat kriyate tad iha proktam rajasam chalam adhruvam. Penance performed out of pride and for the sake of gaining respect, honor, and worship is said to be in the mode of passion. It is neither stable nor permanent. So here's the penance. These three penances can be performed in rajas also in these ways. Satkara manapujartam. For the purpose, performs them for the purpose satkara, which means worship by flattery with flowers or with flowery words. Person says, oh, you're a great sadhu. Right? Satkara. Worshipping the person by flattery. Some flowery words. Oh, you're such a great sadhu. And mana means worshipping the person with your bodily movements, such as standing up to greet someone when he arrives, or following him to the door upon his departure. So satkara you do with the words, and mana you do with the body. And puja means manasi puja, accepting someone as a sadhu within the mind. And then you offer some gifts and some wealth. Tapo dampena chaivayat. So if you're doing this because of this, with ostentatiously, to make a show, for pride, for name and fame, then this is rajasa tapasya. And the result is chalam adhruvam, is flickering and temporary. These oral comments by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this, the words of the verse. Prabhupada writes, sometimes penance and austerity are executed to attract people and receive honor, respect, and worship from others. Right? The main purpose is to attract people. Persons in the mode of passion arranged to be worshipped by subordinates and let them wash their feet and offer riches. Such arrangements artificially made by the performance of penances are considered to be in the mode of passion. The results are temporary. They can be continued for some time, but they are not permanent. So sometimes we've seen some leaders, spiritual leaders in the past, even in our movement, that they were very austere. They rose early and they did everything. but their purpose was to attract people and have themselves worshipped. So they didn't last very long. The result was temporary result. And they would make artificial arrangements or choreograph their own worship. So the austerities that we perform as devotees should never be done in that way, in this rajasic way, because otherwise the end result will not be very good. Because what will happen is you'll get a lot of people to follow you and worship you, and then you'll take all their karma, and you'll be you'll become overinflated with your own sense of self-importance, and you'll make offenses, and then you'll fall down. That's what will happen. And we've seen that happen many times by different so-called spiritual leaders that actually are in the mode of passion. So better to be a humble Prabhu and continue on the path of nirgun bhakti, without hoping that someone will worship me and I'll become a big sadhu. This is very bad, actually. One should try to be a good devotee, not a great devotee. You heard me say that before? You just try to be a good devotee, and then if Krishna wants to make you great, then he will do it. But you shouldn't desire that you will be great. You should think, let me just be a good devotee and do the proper thing. Text 19. Mudha grahinatmanu ya pidaya kriyate tapaha parasyot sadhanartam va tattamasam udharitam. Penance performed out of foolishness with self-torture, or to destroy or injure others, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Mudha, graha. So, foolishly done. Pidaya, torturing yourself. Or pidaya parasya, torturing other persons. There's the word utsadan artha, for destroying other people, right? It's like Prabhupada gives the example of Hiranyakashipu. He wanted to kill the demigods, so he went to in the mountains to perform some tapasa, and he became very powerful. Then the demigods became afraid. They started worrying. Narada Muni came by. He said, "Why are you all so much anxiety?" Since Hiranyakashipu is performing all these austerities, he's becoming more powerful than us. He's going to capture our positions and destroy the universe. So he said, "Don't worry, I'll try to do something." So he went with Parvat Muni, I believe. They took the form of small birds, and they went to, when Hiranyakashipu went a second time for some more tapasya, and the demigods are thinking, "Oh my God, he's going to become more powerful. What are we going to do?" So Narada went there, and he sat in a tree nearby where Hiranyakashipu was. And he started chanting, "Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya." Hiranyakashipu was like, "So... who's that chanting the name of my enemy?" And he gave up his austerity, grabbed his bow, and put the arrow on him. He saw the birds in the tree, and he went like this, and then the birds flew away. He said, "Damn it! Ah! I'm going back down to my palace." He was so frustrated because of this incident, and he gave up his penances. And he came back to his kingdom, and his wife was there. What's her name again?
Kayadu.
Kayadu was there. She said, Oh, darling, why did you... You said that you were going to perform austerities for thousands of years. Why have you come back? I mean, it's very nice that you have returned. But I'm wondering, why have you... He said, duh, the damn birds are up there chanting then, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya. I couldn't stand it. My enemies sent me. Just must have sent them to do this. Oh, just relax, darling. It's okay. And Hiranyakashipu began to enjoy with his wife. And that's how he was able to invoke the presence of a great soul, Prahlad Maharaj, because he was meditating on this mantra at the time of conception. Anyway, that's Hiranyakashipu. He's a tamogun tapasvi. Okay, now text 20. Charity begins. Now let's open the door, get some air. There's not enough air here. And the window too. Can open the window? Dātavyam iti yadhanam diyate nupakārine deshe kale cha patre cha chadanam sattvikam smitam. Charity given out of duty without expectation of return at the proper time and place and to a worthy person is considered to be in the mode of goodness. Right? See, anupakarine. He's not expecting something in return. Again, it's the same as apalakankshibi. So charity given with expectation of return is not charity, says Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And here it's given out of duty. Dātavyam. When is the word here? Yeah. And deshakala patra is mentioned. The proper place, proper time, and the proper candidate. Prabhupada writes that, in other words, indiscriminate charity is not recommended in the Vedic literature. He writes in the middle of his purport, therefore charity is recommended to be given at a place of pilgrimage, like Vrindavan, Puri, or Mayapur, Navadvipa, at a lunar or solar eclipse, or at the end of the month. Or to qualified Brahman or Vaishnava or in temples. So then you're sure that you'll get a good result. Especially if you're giving charity in a holy place like Vrindavan, Mayapur. Because the persons are Brijbasis or Dambasis in Puri also. So they're special persons. They're special. And Prabhupada said that if they're begging, if they're sitting down, then you can give them charity. And if they're chasing you around, you know, tugging on your kurta pocket or something, then don't give them anything. If they're sitting down, it means they're actually begging. And the atmosphere... The person is a proper candidate for receiving donation. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he mocked some of his Grihastha disciples who perhaps were a little bit miserly. And he spoke in a mocking way, imitating their mentality. He said, while they were in Puri, while they were on Yatra, he said then, oh, why should I give to these beggars here? I'll just get implicated in their karma. Something like this. He was mocking the mentality. And then some of his miserly disciples that didn't want to give to qualified, you know, Dambasis, who had come to the holy Dham to do bhajan. and therefore lived on begging, right? So there are a number of people like that. They're genuine. And probably at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there were more such persons. The percentage was higher than nowadays. Now, there's a lot of people just trying to get money, you know, to add to their sense enjoyment. And they're not doing bhajan, and they're not serious. But especially at that time, there are more persons. So those persons are worthy of giving donations to. And it's also said that giving food, clothing, or medicine can be given to all persons. You can give these things, food, medicine, and clothing, to all people if they're begging or if they're poor, because they can't misuse those things. No. It's becoming more degraded. Can't even give away prasadam to people. Really, just like a Swede or just some chapati or something, they go and sell it. You mean like a whole thali? I guess you have to now make them sit down and eat it. I will give you this food, but you have to eat it in front of me. Anyway, what to do? Okay, next, charity and passion. Yatu pratyu pakarartam palam udishyava punaha diyate cha pariklishtam tadhanam rajasam smritam. But charity performed with the expectation of some return, or with the desire for fruitive results, or in a grudging mood, is said to be charity in the mode of passion. So the word pariklishtam is the word which is commented on, which means begrudgingly. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that after the person gives charity, he regrets or he repents. Oh, why have I given so much? And he says also, giving on the order of the guru or superiors, although unwilling to give, and some superior tells you, you must give, and you go, okay, if I must. Like this. The guru orders you, then you think, I don't want to do it, but my guru is ordering me, I have to do it. Damn it. This is the meaning of this. So charity tainted by such unbeneficial feelings is described here with the word pariklishtam. So you can see that the mentality, the consciousness, ruins the offering, spoils it, and brings it down to a lower class, a lower nature, rajasa dana, rajasic dana. So you don't get the same benefit just because the mind is tainted with these ill feelings. Interesting. Prabhupada echoes Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his tika also. Why have I spent so much in this way? Okay, now, tamasik dana. Adesha kale yadanam apatre vyascha diyate asatkritam avagyatam tattama samudaritam. And charity performed at an impure place at an improper time to unworthy persons and without attention and respect is said to be in ignorance. So it's like the opposite of the sattva-gun dana. Right? Because he had the same things. Right? Adesha kale apatrebya. The other one said deshe, kale, patre, right? And this one said deshe, akale, apatre. So it's asatkritam, without respect, avagyatam, and without proper attention. Two more descriptions there. So even if you give to the right person, but if you do it in a disrespectful way, with inattention, then it's also in the mode of ignorance. Everything else may be right. You might be in the right place, the right time, and giving it to the right person, but if you don't give it respectfully, you know, then it's tamagun. Prabhupada mentions in his commentary, similarly, if a person gives charity to a suitable person but without respect or without attention, that sort of charity is also in darkness. And here, attention, avagyatam. Well, you know, you just, you know, kind of, here, take this, you know. Not giving the person proper attention or respect. Asatkritam, asatkar. Doesn't seem so. From what I understand, I don't see any indication that there is some, you know, guarantee that just by giving the charity that one's going to kind of climb up the modes. I haven't seen any indication either in the words of Krishna or in any of the commentaries. And doesn't seem that it would happen like that. I mean, the person would have to develop that particular mode of nature. You know, if he himself is doing things which are going to gradually elevate himself, then surely he will come to goodness, and then his charity will, or his sacrifice and austerities will also develop the same qualities. But the qualities are by the consciousness of the person. So the consciousness will only change by good association, by proper regulation and cleanliness and all of these things. Yes, but if it's done in ignorance, it's not good. And if it's done in passion, it's also not good. The only ones that are good is, it's good when it's done in goodness. That's logical. Some more questions? Yeah, but that's to a, giving charity to a particular person for a particular purpose at a particular time and place. And giving up the fruits is something that you're doing constantly. And if it's Bhagavad Arpi, it means to a temple or to, you know, qualified Brahmins like this. Yeah. Wait, simplicity is mentioned where? Arjavam. And also where? 16. I think the word simplicity here is somyatvam, since it's the second one. And we see, huh? I don't see any other word which could be interpreted in that way. Huh? Somyatvam means pleasing, like soma means the moon. And so Prabhupada, instead of putting being without duplicity towards others, he just puts simplicity. So here, that is the meaning. Without duplicity and not being cruel, but rather desiring the happiness of others. Whereas this other one is actual the word simplicity, arjavam, which I described. The person has a straightforward, it means being straightforward. You think, you see the deity, you think, here is Krishna. And there's no other, you know, considerations. Or like Prahlad, you know. He was so pure and simple that he thought, my father's just joking with me. like this. It's almost like childlike, but not childish. You get some of the karma, yeah.
Do you have a motive is
greed? Yeah. Because it means you're discrimination. You're giving it in the mode of passion or ignorance. So that means there's many faults there. Either giving it begrudgingly, or looking for some return or some respect from it, or you're just giving it without the proper attention and respect like this. So that means there are some faults there in you also. You don't have the proper discrimination. So you give it to the wrong person. It's a patrebya. Right? And so in the material world, whoever you come in contact with, there's always an exchange of karma. Always. Even when you just get on the bus and you rub up against somebody, there's a little bit of transference of karma. If you shake someone's hand, there's some karma coming back. So what to speak if you give the person your money and then he goes and does some crazy thing with it? You definitely get something there. That's more subtle consideration, because it means that the person has faith in Prabhupada and Prabhupada's books and the process of chanting Hare Krishna, and he gives it in that way. And then some crazy devotee takes the money and runs away. That's a different circumstance. Because it's not like that person, it's not that the person who gave the charity gave it to the absconder. Right? He gave it to Krishna. And then some rascal took it away from Krishna and ran away with the money. You understand? So the person gets the benefit of giving it to Krishna, the Society for Krishna Consciousness. So he gets full benefit for that. He doesn't, there's no loss or diminution for him. Can you speak louder, please? And what is your question? If you're simple, but your anarthas come out in the association of devotees, then so you want to hide all of your anarthas? Yeah, your anarthas are going to show up if you're going to live with devotees anyway, even if you're not simple. They'll know anyway. And being not simple as itself is an anartha. So if you're simple and all your anarthas come out, then sooner or later they'll all be gone. So better to be a demon, you know, for a year or a few months than to be a demon eternally with all anarthas. Give it for a tax break. That's a good question. Krishna doesn't say anything about that here. I should just follow Krishna and not say anything about it. This is a question from very deep in the ocean of Prashna Sagar. Let's ask Radhe Shyam. Maybe he can figure out what to say about this. Radhe Shyam, how would you answer this question? Somebody gives money to the ISKCON movement begrudgingly or for a tax benefit or something like that. Is there any modes of nature that affect his offering? So if there are any modes tainting the person's offering, that those modes in the offering are purified by the fact that he's giving it to the all-powerful, supremely pure personality of Godhead. and it's kind of consumed. His anarthas are consumed within that offering to the Absolute. It also, I mean, people who give to ISKCON generally, they chant Hare Krishna. Or at least they often say, Hare, I gave money to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Right? So that means they're, according to the end of the chapter, it says that someone who chants and he does any of these other religious activities, all of the defects are washed away by that chanting. So probably, I would say, at least according to that statement, it's probably more the fact that the person sometimes or often chants the holy name that the defects are washed away. Yeah. And our reference will be text 23. Anyway, the last section here. It's not just the Diksha Guru who takes the karma. But he takes the brunt of it. But when you preach to someone, you also take their karma. Just a little bit, some things do. Why it's so funny. But the thing is, because a devotee is performing bhakti sadhana, then he's not affected by that. Just by walking around Tulsi, one time, you know, all the karma is gone. And then you water Tulsi, then you take Charanamrita, you bow down before the deity, you're chanting the holy name, you're hearing Bhagavatam. All these things, just, there's no question of any karma touching. But when you preach, yeah, there's some transference, but then it's easily washed away by your sadhana. That's why preachers are recommended to have strict sadhana. Because otherwise there can be some build-up. Usually it comes in the mind. Some crazy thoughts. I don't know, other than just what we're doing. Probably the only thing that can help is by hearing about it and associating with devotees who have come through that and who are on the other side. Otherwise, I don't, there's no quick fix. Just chant a few mantras and certain yajna, you take the blue pill or the red pill, right? Doesn't work like that. Association is the answer. If it's done in the mode of goodness. That's my understanding. Yeah. And actually at the end of this chapter it said that everything which is not nirguna is useless. Without real faith. So nirguna is the seed of the bhakti lata, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Statements of this, the end of this chapter, give this indication. But there is some statement that if it's done in goodness, it brings moksha. So in goodness, there's some elevation, but it's not bhakti. You can't get nirgun result from doing something in the mode of goodness. Yeah, but it's not spiritual advancement. It's just religious advancement. It's not nirgun bhakti. Yeah, it's religious. There's some elevation to the mode of goodness like that. And some tendency gives the person some tendency towards liberation for renunciation and things like this. Okay, let's finish the last section. This is called Chanting Om Tat Sat Purifies Activities from 23 to 28. Chanting Om Tat Sat Purifies Activities. Yeah, it's possible because the modes are always competing. So the person in goodness, who's primarily in goodness, may drop down to passion, you know, and he's giving some charity. So then it's not elevating him. It could degrade him, yeah. It's hard to, I can't read the what am I in? Huh? Well, I mean, the sacrifice doesn't have to have all five of those negative features. I mean, if there's just no distribution of prasad, if there's no dakshin given to the priest, right? If it's not exactly according to the vidhi of the shastra, and the person doesn't have any faith, you know, then it doesn't matter, any kind of yajna, fire sacrifice, hota, any of these things, there'll be no good result. Okay, let's go to 23. Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesho Brahmanas Trividha Smritaha Brahmanas Tena Vedascha Yagyascha Vihita Pura. From the beginning of creation, the three words Om Tat Sat were used to indicate the Supreme Absolute Truth. These three symbolic representations were used by Brahmanas while chanting the hymns of the Vedas and during sacrifices for the satisfaction of the Supreme. So, Om Tat Sat, Prabhupada writes, it has been explained that penance, sacrifice, charity, and foods are divided into three categories, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But whether first class, second class, or third class, they are all conditioned, contaminated by the material modes of nature. When they are aimed at the Supreme, Om Tat Sat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Eternal, they become means for spiritual elevation. In the scriptural injunctions, such an objective is indicated. These three words, Om Tat Sat, particularly indicate the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Vedic hymns, the word Om is always found. One who acts without following the regulations of the scriptures will not attain the absolute truth. He will get some temporary result, but not the ultimate end of life. The conclusion is that the performance of charity, sacrifice, and penance must be done in the mode of goodness. Performed in the mode of passion or ignorance, they are certainly inferior in quality. And at the end of the commentary, Prabhupada writes, when one performs penance, charity, and sacrifice with these three words, he is acting in Krishna consciousness. So then there's a transcendental result. So these words, Om Tat Sat, they remove any discrepancies or imperfections found in the performer who's doing sacrifice, austerity, or charity. Similarly, when you're offering food to the Supreme, all the defects are also taken away. Same principle. So these are all names of Vishnu. Om particularly is a near and dear name of the Lord. So the names of the Lord should always be remembered while performing any of these activities. Thus anything lacking will become complete or rectified. We have some commentaries here. Here's, let us read Baladev Vidyabhushan's commentary. Baladev Vidyabhushan has commented that sacrifice, charity, and penance is of three types. They are beneficial in goodness and not as good in passion and ignorance. To signify that sattvic people chant the name of Vishnu while performing sacrifice, the Lord speaks this verse explaining Om Tat Sat. These three syllables are all names of Vishnu. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a very nice commentary on this verse. It explains different points. Tapa, yajna, dana, and food are each of three types, sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. The faith in which the conditioned souls perform these activities may be first class, second class, or third class, but it remains contaminated by the modes and is thus worthless. These acts only become purposeful in attaining fearlessness when they're performed with nirgun shraddha, that is, with that shraddha which gives rise to bhakti. Shastra says that prescribed duties should be performed with such transcendental shraddha. In Shastra, there are three principles which indicate Brahma, Om, Tat, and Sat. These three names, which indicate Brahma, also describe the Brahmanas, Vedas, and Yajnas. Shraddha, in which one neglects the Shastric codes, is Saguna. It does not aim at Nirgun Brahma in any way and will only give a material result. Therefore, the essence of Shastra is transcendental Shraddha. Your doubt about Shastra and Shraddha is born of ignorance, Arjuna. Speaking as Krishna. Followers of the Vedas perform all their activities as given in Shastra, such as yajna, tapasya, and dana, by chanting the sacred syllable Om, which indicates Brahma. So here Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a kind of high-pitched, strict definition of all these things. He said everything else is worthless unless there's nirgun shraddha. But he says that the Vedas are presenting all of these things with the intention of nirgun shraddha. There is another statement of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur who does give some credence to performing these in the mode of goodness. And I believe Prabhupada also just said that here, isn't it? In his commentary. He said they must be done in goodness. Performing in goodness, there's some, you know, benefit, but in passionate ignorance, they're inferior in quality. Yes, I think, what was it? Oh, that's another one. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has, or another commentator, had given that there is some benefit in goodness. I guess we'll get to that. I just can't find it right now. But that mode of goodness, charitable act or tapasya like this, that tends to point one towards moksha, not to bhakti. Because bhakti is nirguna, so if you're doing something in the mode of goodness, you can gravitate towards liberation. It'll help you, give you knowledge. It will help to help you to control your senses, and will help give you some realization that you're not the body, etc. But then that's about all it can do. But I mean, that's good. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, speaks from the higher platform and says, you know, passes everything else off as useless. So he has a more strict definition or a more strict view of all of these activities. So the words Brahmanas, Vedas, and Yajnas, also you can see that you have two chas there, so it's like a list. Brahmanas, tena, vedascha, yajnascha, vihitapura. So this can be seen also that all Brahmanas, all Vedas and Yajnas are created from Brahma, which are represented by the words Om Tat Sat. That's another way of translating the verse. Yeah. Here Prabhupada says that the Om Tat Sat were used by Brahmanas while chanting the hymns of the Vedas during the Yajnas. Like kind of making it into a sentence. Making the Brahmanas the subject and the Vedas some instrumental thing and the yagyas, the subject that they're performing these. But it was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur who said that that these three things are also created from Brahma, represented by Om Tat Sat. It's another, a different way to look at this verse. So, Om indicates that one wants to reach the Supreme. And one chants Om. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pasyanti Suraya Diviva Chakshvatatam. So all of these, the brahmanas, they're actually searching for that Supreme Lord, Pashyanti. And they see him, actually, when they're real brahmanas. They're looking for that Paramam Padam, Supreme Place. Tat indicates that one desires to get free from material entanglement. And Sat indicates that one should act in Krishna consciousness in the association of sadhus, who are satam, or pure. Or you could say that it indicates that one should act transcendentally. It is also the Lord's name as the cause of the material world. So it is stated that in the beginning only Sat existed. I think one of the acharyas quoted some Shruti mantra which gave this idea. In the beginning there was only Sat. So Prabhupada mentions these things. Om iti etad brahmano nedeshtam nama from the Rig Veda indicates the first goal. Then tatram asi from the Chandogya Upanishad indicates the second goal. And sad eva saumya indicates the third goal. Okay, 24. Tasmad om ityudaritya yagyadana tapakriyaha pravartante vidanokta satatam brahmavarinam. Therefore, transcendentalists undertaking performance of sacrifice, charity and penance in accordance with the scriptural regulations begin always with Om to attain the Supreme. So they're also Brahmavadis. Right? Not necessarily that they're impersonalists, but they can be also impersonalists. So that's, again, this verse 23 has all three words, and here 24 has Om. And 25 has the word tat, describing the word tat. Tat ityanu pisandhaya palam yagya tapakriyaha dana kriyascha vividha kriyante moksha kangshivihi. Without desiring fruitive results, one should perform various kinds of sacrifice, penance, and charity with the word tat. The purpose of such transcendental activities is to get free from material entanglement. So those who are moksha kankshibi, they chant tat. And they don't have any fruitive desires to enjoy while performing their yagya tapa or dana, etc. So this is indication of the mode of goodness, right? Because there's no desire for the fruits. And they perform these activities with the idea of moksha. So this is particularly tat, as we say, indicates that one wants to get free from material entanglement. And he wants moksha. Now two verses for sat, 26 and 27. Sadbhave sarubhave cha sat yetat prayujyate prashaste karmani tatha sat chabda partha yujyate yagye tapasi dane cha sthiti sad iti chokchate karma chaiva tadartiyam sadyevya vadiyate. The absolute truth is the objective of devotional sacrifice, and it is indicated by the word sat. The performer of such sacrifice is also called sat, as are all works of sacrifice, penance, and charity, which, true to the absolute nature, are performed to please the Supreme Person, O Son of Pritha. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, the word sat represents Brahma and is used in auspicious or praiseworthy acts. It can also be used in all auspicious acts which are material as well as transcendental. The Lord speaks these two verses to explain this. So as we said, sat is the Lord's name as the cause of the material world, different from the material world, which is asat. And actually the word sat has three different meanings. It means eternal existence, as opposed to asat. It means goodness, like sattva. And it means something done properly, or religious activity, like, sadhu, the word sadhu. Or sadjana. Sajjana means a good man, right? So it can mean something like this. It has different meanings. Because one who's steadfast in his activities is called sat. And any activities performed for the pleasure of tat is called sat. Because tat means the supreme person. Tatvamasi, you are that supreme person, right? You are part and parcel of that Supreme Person. So the word sat is the name of Brahma, which exists in all good activities. Any prescribed duties are called sat. Sat karma, right? Like here in the verse we have this word, prashaste karmani. So any prescribed duties are called sat. Whether they're Bhagavad Dharma or Varnashram Dharma. Just like in the third chapter of the Gita, text 15 says, Tasmat Sarvagatam Brahma Nitye Yagye Pratishtitam. So Brahma is situated in all of these prescribed duties of the Varnas and the Ashrams, as well as transcendental activities too. Tasmat saragatam Brahma nitye yagye pratishtitam. So Brahma is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice which are given in the Vedas. Now Prabhupada writes here, the word prashasti karmani, prescribed duties, indicate that there are many activities prescribed in the Vedas which are purificatory processes beginning from the time of conception up to the end of one's life, right? From garbhadan samskar to the Kriya Antya Dveshti, what is it called? Deshti. Antya Deshti. Such purificatory processes are adopted for the ultimate liberation of the living entity. In all such activities, it is recommended that one vibrate Om Tat Sat. The words Sat Bhave and Sadhu Bhave indicate the transcendental situation. Acting in Krishna consciousness is called sattva, and one who is fully conscious of the activities of Krishna consciousness is called a sadhu. In the Bhagavatam, it is said that the transcendental subject matter becomes clear in the association of devotees. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido. Without good association, one cannot achieve transcendental knowledge. When initiating a person or offering the sacred thread, one vibrates the words Om Tat Sat. And in another commentary, it's mentioned in marriage ceremony and other kinds of sacrifices also. Similarly, in all kinds of performance of yajna, the object is the supreme, Om Tat Sat. The word Tat Artyam further means offering service to anything which represents the supreme, including such service as cooking and helping in the Lord's temple or any other kind of work for the broadcasting of the glories of the Lord. These supreme words, Om Tat Sat, are thus used in many ways to perfect all activities and make everything complete. So the words, you see in the first verse 26, you have the three connotations, Sat Bhave, Sadu Bhave Cha, and Prashasti Karmanitata. So you have the Sat Bhave means the object of the sacrifice, Sadu Bhave means the person performing the sacrifice, and Prashasti Karmani means the actual activity of sacrifice. So you have subject, object, and activity, which links the two, and they're all called Sat. That's what the translation says. The Absolute Truth is the object. The performer is also Sat. And also the works of sacrifice are Sat. That's basically what the translation says. And that's from these words, Sat Bhave, Sadu Bhave Cha, Prashaste Karmani Tata. So Sat is used by the sadhus to please the Absolute, Supreme Absolute, in this performance of sacrifice. Okay. Good. Now, 27. 28. Okay. So, Arjun says, I've heard what is Sat Karma, but what is Asat Karma, Krishna? So now Krishna answers Arjuna's question in text 28. Ashradhaya hutam dattam tapas taptam kritam chayat asad ityuchate partha na chatat pretyano ihara. Anything done as sacrifice, charity, or penance without faith in the Supreme, O Son of Pritha, is impermanent. It is called asat, and it is useless both in this life and the next. So this is the last verse giving the ultimate conclusion, which is similar to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's presentation. So ashradhaya, according to him, means without nirgun shraddha. No, he didn't define the word, but in his commentary it's obvious that he's mentioning this thing. He says, if one gives up shastric injunctions, it means that he has given up nirgun shraddha, which is the seed of the bhakti lata bij, or bhakti lata plant. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that any work done like Jagyadana or Tapa, without faith in the Supreme, is the same as not doing it at all. And I'll read exactly what he says. He said, all fire yagyas, charity, penance, and anything done without Shraddha is asat. Although yagya may be done, it is not actually a yagya. Although charity may be done, it is not actually charity. And although tapasya may be performed, it's not actually tapasya. And whatever else is done is useless if done without faith. It doesn't even give a good result in this world. What to speak of in the next world? Oh yeah, so here says, but prescribed duties done with sattvic shraddha lead to moksha. This is explained in this chapter. So he gives some credence, some validity to the sattvic performance of these three religious acts. And that confirms what Prabhupada said in the other commentary. But it's clear from Bhaktivinoda's commentary that it's not nirgun. It's not going to give you bhakti unless you have faith in the Supreme. So Prabhupada writes, anything done without the transcendental objective, whether it be sacrifice, charity, or penance, is useless. Therefore, in this verse, it is declared that such activities are abominable. Everything should be done for the Supreme in Krishna consciousness. Without such faith and without proper guidance, there can never be any fruit. In all the Vedic scriptures, faith in the Supreme is advised. In the pursuit of all Vedic injunctions, the ultimate goal is the understanding of Krishna. No one can obtain success without following this principle. Therefore, the best course is to work from the very beginning in Krishna consciousness under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. That is the way to make everything successful. In the conditional state, people are attracted to worshipping demigods, ghosts, or yakshas like Kuvera. The mode of goodness is better than the modes of passion and ignorance, but one who takes directly to Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all three modes. Although there is a process of gradual elevation, if one, by the association of pure devotees, right, sat prasangam mamavirya sambhido, takes directly to Krishna consciousness, that is the best way, and that is recommended in this chapter. To achieve success in this way, one must first find the proper spiritual master and receive training on his direction. Then one can achieve faith in the Supreme. When that faith matures in course of time, it is called love of God. This love is the ultimate goal of the living entities. One should therefore take to Krishna consciousness directly. This is the message of the 17th chapter. Srila Prabhupada ki. It's clear, right? And so, so we read the different commentaries. At the end, Baladeva Vidyabhushan summarized, he says, one should give up one's faith born of his nature and develop faith in Shastra. If one does that, he will attain the Supreme. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said something similar like this. That one should learn to give up his kind of natural feeling, you know, his imagination, his own personal kind of faith, and have faith in Shastra. And then he'll gradually elevate himself this way. So we'll answer a few more questions from Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, and then we'll stop. 22 in the last section. Not really. I mean, it's clear because that's what they're discussing. The last one is charity, right? So there's jagya, tapa, and dana. That's what they're talking about in the last section. I mean, the link is that all of these are done in the modes of nature, and so there's some fault. And so they won't give one the ultimate result. So that from 23, the recommendation is to perform these with the proper objective and by chanting the names of the Lord. At this time, Om Tat Sat, that is being presented. Krishna knows he'll come later as Mahaprabhu and introduce the Hare Krishna mantra as the names to be. Just like Jiva Goswami says, whatever we do, it should begin and end with chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Any anga of bhakti, like we do arti, we should chant the holy names of the Lord while we do the arti. Before we take prasadam, we chant the holy names of the Lord. All right? Whatever we do, at the beginning and the end, we should be chanting. Well, Om represents Radha and Krishna, and it's A-U-M. A is Krishna, U is Srimati Radharani, and M is all the jivas. So it's just another transcendental sound vibration which has the seed of the Maha Mantra there, but it's not fully manifest. So better is chanting just Hare Krishna. But Om also is transcendental. If a person like somehow couldn't chant Hare Krishna, you can tell him to chant Om and think about Krishna and offer everything to Krishna. Of course, it's not a primary name of God, so it's not as powerful. Like Ram is three times less than the potency of Krishna, and then Vishnu is 1,000 times less potent than Ram. So then Om is even less than Vishnu. But it's still something. You get something there. I used to was chanting Om, that's why I became a devotee. So we recommend the most powerful name of God, which is Krishna. But it's absolute. Chanting Om is absolute also. Om who? Des. Das namaha. But then you don't have the transcendental objective. That's the important thing. Like we heard in the 12th chapter, Prabhupada was saying these charitable activities are beneficial. But here he said they're useless. So what's the difference? Because of the transcendental objective. In that verse number 11, right, we're describing giving up the fruits of work, karma pala tyag. There, that commentary, Prabhupada glorifies, you know, philanthropic activities, because that person is doing it with the intention of becoming, hopefully, a devotee in the future, like this. So he has the right goal. So man should be judged by his objective, by his goal, his meditation. But here, these things, these charitable activities in the modes of nature, if they're used, especially if they're used as a substitute for nirgun seva or nirgun bhakti, then they're abominable and they're to be completely rejected. Because then they block the person from advancing. But in the other circumstance, they actually help the person to advance. Because they helped him to come to goodness by giving the fruit of his work, and he's hoping, you know, that he can become a devotee. Because it says that, what was it, bhakti upashrita? Something like that in that verse 11. His computer's running there. Mad-yoga mashrita, yeah. Kartam mad-yoga mashrita. So the person, you know, that's the whole difference. And the Prabhupada mentioned it right here. I just read it, right? I guess it's right in the beginning. Anything done with the transcendental objective, anything done without the transcendental objective is useless. Therefore, in this verse, it is declared that these are abominable. Much different from 12:11, right? So, I was trying to figure this out before, because the same activities, philanthropic activities, but they're done with a different consciousness, a different objective. Yeah, they're somewhere. I'll have to find it though. Where is that? I think it's in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's description. Well, there's some, either it's from Hari Bhakti Vilas or if it's some commentary on the Kama Gayatri Mantra by Vishwanath Chakravarti or Prabodhananda Saraswati or something like this. I forget. Also, he breaks down Kleem also in a similar way. Kleem. There's so many ways. Each letter means four or five different things. K means Krishna. It also means water. And so many things. It represents the five arrows of Cupid. You know, all these, so many connotations.
Interpretation.
Of Om.
Of Om. Yeah.
Could be. Yeah, I think it's just in our Gaudiya literature. I'll have to see. I haven't seen it. I can't remember any Shruti references like that. But usually in the Shrutis, they don't mention Radha and Krishna. You know, maybe in the Gopal Tapani, there might be something like this, if at all. Something else? Yeah, okay. They're all exhausted from questions. Your questions are depleted, huh?
People are just like people
Mm-hmm. Well, in the primary names of God, there's definitely that, you know, in Nama Bas, there's this vivarana, or the separation of the syllables. And you could say, you know, the Muslims saying, Haram, so you've been killed by a boar. But in these lower names, like Ishwar and Paramatma, you don't have the same benefit. So in Om, it seems that we don't have that benefit, as far as I can understand. And these other examples that you gave, they're also, well, say like Ajamil, although he was chanting a primary name, Narayan, and not only that, but although he was intending it to mean his son, it was still Namabas, because it wasn't Nam Aparad. He was innocently calling for his son. But the acharyas have explained that at the very last moment he remembered the real Narayan. So therefore, his objective changed, just like Gajendra's prayers changed when he saw Lord Vishnu. So somehow, by chanting the name of Narayan, he remembered the real Narayan. So then his consciousness changed. Dhruva, yeah, he had a different objective for sure. But he was still searching for God. His mother told him to find God in the forest. So, right? And so he had that idea. Although he was misguided or whatever, he wasn't focused on, you know, bhakti for sure. But Narada came and then, you know, initiated him. So he chanted this transcendental mantra and he got the association of Narada. So that changed his situation. So the Lord in Vaikuntha had agreed to come and save him if Narada, you know, initiates him or blesses him. So then the Lord came directly himself. So it's kind of exceptional circumstances with the blessings of Narada Muni, which makes everything quite different. So, but still, there may be some benefit for those people who say Om dash 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 Namaha, you know. But it's not so much. There's very little potency in that, because the objective's not there, sadhu sangha's not there. Consciousness is not there, and they're directing their respect to, you know, someone who's not God. They may be thinking that that person's God, right? In many cases, I would think. So they're making a man into God. So that's like Rajagun Puja, right? And so the transcendental benefit is not coming. No, they're all liars. They're all rascals. They're not getting any benefit. They do so many things. The books are only good for one place, the trash bin. I was here in 81 when Sridhar Maharaj brought us up here for a feast, some, you know, life member's hotel or something. We went in there and he arranged prasadam, and we sat down at the big hall. And we were taking prasadam. And then one Western follower of Rajneesh came in. And we invited him to sit with us and take prasadam. So he sat down and we started chatting with him, taking prasadam. And then this girlfriend of his came and she whispered something in his ear. And he explained, "No, not right now. I'm enjoying my meal with my friends, and I'll come later." So, but then the lady shouted out her demands, and she said, "If you don't come with me now, I'll never have sex with you again. And everybody said, what? And everyone started laughing. The guy stood up sheepishly and he followed the lady out from the hall. That was my first experience in Pune of these people. You know. But, you know, if someone's not fixed in bhakti, they're not worshipping Krishna or Ram, somebody, Narayan, then they're really just cheating people and not bringing them to the ultimate goal. Especially this fellow here. His Sankirtan went there also recently. Not inside, but he was putting up some posters in the kind of, they have some kind of cafe across the street.
We can say they may get something.
What, some? They may get some. Well, if they perform very intense austerities, they may get some yoga cities.
Yoga
some
city.
Yoga city abbas. You know, something.
Is, present who has those cities?
I don't know. I doubt that this can happen. Radhesham, what do you think? I can't say yes to that. I said, sorry, Father, I don't buy it. You know, these people are not so great that you worship them when they're in. They're probably taking birth in some horrible situation for cheating so many people. Ishopanishas, they go to the most hellish place in the universe. So how can you get benefit from worshiping this person who's in hell, the darkest region of the universe? Whatever, that people, you know, they're getting just what their good karma is giving them, that's all. And they think, they imagine that it's from this puja. It has to be. No, but that's for the, no, he's saying only for the demigods. You know. Krishna doesn't do for the rascal. I give them faith in the rascals, and the rascals can give them the benedictions. That's no, the demigods are like his bodily parts, his guna avatars, and you know, they're his representatives. It's not the same. Well, you can have a dream of any person after passing away. Especially if they're always staring at pictures of him. Right? That's their, you know, tamagun shraddha. Worshipping some ghost, actually. Huh? Yeah. Or rajagun shraddha at best. But it's not even goodness. That you can't even get close to moksha from it. You're not going to get anything from such kind of puja or, you know, meditation. Is there a difference between the verses? Yeah, they're describing the different words. Tad is those who they want liberation, moksha kangshibi. The other ones are also mentions brahmavadinam. And then there's sarubhave, sadbhave, sarubhave cha. These are all names for the Lord, but they indicate different like aspects or functions of the Lord. A sad is known as the source of the creation, as opposed to asa. Om is just famous, especially as the near and dear name of the Lord. And tat is referring to, you know, like tat tvam asi, you are that, right? You part and parcel of him. It's referring to that supreme also, but for those people who are interested in liberation, moksha kangshibi. So they all indicate Brahma, but from like different angles, slightly different connotations. Okay, Hare Krishna. See you, the Prabhupada ki.